Take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. Psalm 7. A Shigeon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjaminite. O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger, lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me, for you have appointed a judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples be gathered about you, over it return on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous. You who test the minds and hearts, O righteous God. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who feels indignation every day. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Let us pray. Father, we come to you by coming to your word, and we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, that we might hear. And so, Lord, I ask that you would enable me to preach aright, and we pray that the power of the Spirit will be upon us in the sense that we might understand your truth. Most of all, may we see Christ. And it's through Jesus that I ask these blessings. Amen. The Lord is the righteous judge. The Lord is the righteous judge. The introduction or the title there of the psalm, we find this title describes the situation that David is in. This Shigeon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjaminite. We know that Cush has said something about David that is false in accordance with the context of the psalm. So David has been falsely accused. I see three divisions, or I'll break it down into three divisions, but the Lord gives the righteous refuge. The Lord gives the righteous refuge. The Lord is, secondly, the Lord is the righteous judge, and the Lord's righteous judgment calms the righteous. The Lord's righteous judgment calms the righteous. And so, how will David respond to these wrong words? If we see that and understand how he responds, then we can learn how to respond in a similar situation. And what truth will David fill his mind with during this difficult time? So how will he respond, and what truth will he fill his mind with so we might fill our minds with a similar, with the truth if we were in a similar situation? How was David affected by meditation on the truth? We're going to see that toward the end of the psalm. And may the truth have an effect upon us. I know, again, I have to say this, but we have some emphasis upon evangelistic messages, and We certainly will get there, but in context, in consideration of the psalm as a whole, David is in this situation. He is crying out to the Lord. We need to have that clear. But then in verse 12, if a man does not repent, if he does not turn, then he will whet his sword. God will whet his sword. And so we will certainly get into the gospel as we consider that verse. Let's begin there in verse 1 and these first five verses, really. The Lord gives the righteous refuge. So we see there, O Lord my God, verse 1, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. David seeks the Lord for safety. David seeks the Lord for safety. David has the Lord as his God. David is a believer in the one true God. I know that that's something that at least I say quite often and regularly, but there are many that profess to know God, but this is not the God of the Bible. And so I make clarification there. The God of the Bible, who is the creator of all, the ruler of all, the only one who has the power to protect a person from all that might bring him harm. David seeks the Lord for safety. In you do I take refuge. I flee to you for protection, O Lord. But David is not, that we know of, literally running to the temple where the presence of the Lord would dwell in that day to find a safe place. He's not running to the temple. David is fixing his mind upon the Lord, wherever he might be, because we do know that he was on the run and many times during his life. So what cave might he have been in at this time? I don't know. But I do know that his focus is upon the Lord. He's focusing his mind upon the Lord. David is calming his anxious heart by seeking the sovereign Lord who can provide deliverance. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me. And so we hear of the words of Cush. It seems singular, but David has more than one person trying to do him harm. David knew that the Lord can save, he can deliver, he can snatch him away from danger. It's right at the moment, that word, deliver me, save me from my pursuers, snatch me away. You grab me so that they won't grab me, because if they grab me, they're going to be like a lion, and they're going to tear me to pieces. But he doesn't just say they're going to tear my body to pieces. It's my soul is going to be torn apart. And this word will take in, of course, the physical body, but all we are, the inner man. Lord, I need to be saved from every person that comes against me. I need deliverance from every person who tries to tear my soul apart, just like the lion with its prey. David feels threatened by the words of Cush, the Benjaminite. Can we see from the psalm the effect that a person's words can have upon a mind or a heart? We might try to act tough, but there could have been, if Saul had been told of David's location or David had done this, we know that David was under certainly threat of his life, but these words have produced a great turmoil of mind and heart for David. He uses again that word soul, and it seems that David is not only concerned about his body being harmed, he doesn't want all of his life, his soul, to be destroyed, including his heart and his mind. Do we pray to the Lord and seek the Lord for safety? We get the idea. I don't want someone to physically harm me. But do we seek the Lord for safety that I might have peace of mind, that I might have calmness of soul? Seek the Lord for safety. We can certainly see that's clear what David is doing, asking for deliverance. But was he asking for deliverance from the consequences of sin? There's a good consideration. Was he asking for safety from the consequences of his sin? Not. He was not. No, David declares his innocence amidst these false accusations. Verse 3, Lord my God, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. David says he's willing to suffer the consequences if he has sinned, but he's declaring himself innocent in this charge, in this accusation, these words that have been. So David has not sinned, as the enemy says. David seeks the Lord for refuge and protection. And so that's where I get in this section that fuller statement there, the Lord provides refuge for the righteous. Do you see what he's saying there? I'm innocent. I didn't do this. Lord, give me safety. Give me salvation. I didn't do what he's claiming that I did. If David had been guilty of the sin and continued in that sin, or he continued to make excuses, if he continued to deny his guilt, then he would have no hope of seeking the Lord for refuge. Do you see? David is sure that he did not do what Cush claimed he did. Otherwise, he would be crazy to call out to the Lord in this way. He says, if I've done it, then let my enemy chase me down, pursue my life, overtake me. We know that David displayed integrity in many situations. We saw there in 1 Samuel 24 when Saul came into the cave and he cut off the corner of his robe there. His men said, God's given you the opportunity to destroy your enemy right now. God's put your enemy in your hand. And then David even was struck at heart over cutting the corner of his robe and said, God forbid if I were to put my hands on the Lord's anointed. And so we have seen integrity in David's life, at least in this regard. So how will David respond to these wrong words, this false accusation? He takes refuge in the Lord. So we must take refuge in the Lord. How can we take refuge in the Lord? How did David take refuge in the Lord? Well, he meditated on truth about the Lord. That would be one thing very clearly. He meditated upon truth about the Lord. Verse 5 ends, you see that word there, Selah, which some say this means to pause and think about what's just been said. Pause and think about this. The Lord gives refuge to the righteous. David, in this regard, says he's innocent. I'm righteous in this regard. I'm seeking the Lord for refuge, declaring my innocence. The Lord is the righteous judge. We say, well, how did David seek refuge in the Lord? Well, he meditated on who God really was. And when he prayed in accordance with the truth. And he called out in accordance with the truth. And he knows, David knows that the Lord is the righteous judge. This can comfort those who are actually in right relationship with God Almighty. Arise, O Lord, verse 6, in your anger, lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. Because David knows the Lord is the righteous judge, he calls on the Lord to bring judgment on his unrighteous accuser. David knows that the Lord has righteous anger, righteous indignation. Pastor Mark spoke about this morning in the Sunday school hour. Those who have come against David, they have unrighteous rage or fury. And so David asks for the Lord to arise in his anger. The anger of the Lord is always righteous. The anger of the Lord, the Lord is never angry in a sinful way. And so he says, Lord, arise for your judgment. Please bring judgment upon this unrighteous person. The and this appointment of God's judgment is sure. And so David seems, he's on the side of the Lord. He's calling out to the Lord. And he says, for that matter, all people will be gathered before the judgment of the Lord. Let the assembly of the peoples be gathered about you over at Return on High. David's asking for the Lord's judgment even now. And the Lord judges the peoples, verse 8. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to the integrity that is in me. These are strong words. In light of the fact that we know ourselves to be sinners, you might ask yourself, could I call out to the Lord in such a way? David asked for the Lord to judge him. He is righteous. He has integrity, he professes. He says, I'm innocent in regard to these words of Cush. The Lord is the righteous judge. It's not just that the judgment will happen, but there's a purpose for the judgment to happen. Verse 9, oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end. May you establish the righteous, you who test the minds and the hearts, O righteous God. David prays for the evil actions of these wicked people to be stopped, and he prays for the righteous to be given security and stability. Establish the righteous. Give us security. The Lord will have no difficulty making a righteous judgment. Why? Because he is able to judge the heart and the mind. We think about the judgment of God, and we, you know, as kids, we learn, do this, don't do that. And then as we get older, some of us focus on do this, don't do that alone. But God doesn't just consider actions in his judgment, you see. He considers the thoughts of our mind and the affections of our heart. This shows us that we could have sin in our heart. It shows us that we can have sin in our mind. And God knows these. He knows all of what's in us. He knows what is all in them. As David says, you who test the minds and hearts, O righteous God. God's judgment. He's the righteous judge. What does that mean? Righteous. He's going to make the right judgment every time. He doesn't have to call for witnesses and gather the information, gather the evidence. He knows if David has done this thing or not. He knows if David's, as he declares his innocence concerning the words of Cush, he knows if he's done that or not. David says, I'm innocent. David says, though, please bring judgment. Stop those evildoers. Bring an end to what they have done. And verse 10, my shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. David knows that his defense is the Lord. The Lord shields David. We get this idea of the shield. Be thou my battle shield, even sword for my fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. He's seeking the Lord to shield him. My soul's shelter, thy my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Of course, may the Lord physically protect. But may the Lord raise David and David's and our thoughts heavenward, that our mind might be protected. May the Lord stir the affections of our heart for him, that our heart would be established. Verse 11, God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. David said there at the end of verse 10 that the Lord is a righteous judge because he saves the upright in heart. Would the Lord be a righteous judge if he saved the wicked in heart? Would the Lord be a righteous judge if he saved the wicked in heart? He is a righteous judge, and he does feel indignation every day. Why would the Lord feel indignation every day? The King James translators, they supply some words here to help us understand that. God is angry, your Bible might have in italics, with the wicked every day. The Lord's indignation is stirred toward the wicked. The Lord is not pleased with those that rebel against him. The Lord has righteous anger every day. And so David is seeking refuge in the Lord. He's meditating on the fact that the Lord is the righteous judge. This is the truth that he fills his mind with during the difficult time. And he knows that the Lord will stop the wicked. Do you see what that means? If you know that the Lord is the righteous judge, then you know there is coming a day when all unrighteousness will be stopped. Thank you, Lord, for that day. David wants it to happen even then, even quickly. We must find rest in God's righteous judgment. Here's where we're getting to kind of a struggle or a sticking point. We must trust that the Lord will punish every evildoer. And so are you comforted by this psalm? If you have been wrongly accused, seek the Lord for safety and know that the Lord will give the right judgment about every accusation. There's the comfort in the psalm, right? But maybe you are experiencing discomfort. Maybe you cannot say with David that you are righteous or innocent. In light of the Lord's judgment, you know that you are due to be punished for your sin. What does the psalm say to you? The psalm says, repent. Or, like I said, King James, turn. That's what the psalm says to you and to me if we find ourselves to be in sin. And so, I want to take a moment on verse 12, particularly, consider this. If he, the wicked man, does not turn or repent, then he, God, will punish. Depending on what translation you have, it's rendered that way. The Lord has bent and readied his bow. It goes on in verse 12. The language gives us the impression that the Lord is ready and prepared to punish David's persecutor or persecutors. God's judgment, his wrath may be slow, but it's always sure, says Benson. So if we're finding ourselves discomforted, if we're finding ourselves in sin, we know that the wrath of God is coming. It may be slow, but it is always sure. David has already said that the judgment is appointed. So we need to hear the seriousness of the righteous judgment of God. We're not all going to get just a free pass and just say, oh, well, I'm pretty good, and so I don't have to worry much about this judgment to come. No. Many times in the scripture, the Lord makes us know the fact that he is slow to anger. He is kind in patience, and that patience is meant to lead us to repentance. So we can hear how we might have hope right here in this verse 12. If a man does not repent, the Lord God will whet his sword. What hope does the sinner have? You're supposed to be giving us good news, gospel news, David. And this is what we hear. Even a sinner who has made false accusations like Cush. Repent. Turn away from evil. Turn to God for mercy. If a man does not repent, then God will punish, is what it says there. But I could state it the other way around. And this is where you need to listen clearly. There's hope. If a man does repent, then God will not punish. You mean that there is hope for people who have sinned? You mean that God, the righteous judge, will not punish me for my sin if I repent and turn away from my sin? Matthew Henry says, amidst the threatenings of wrath, we have a gracious offer of mercy. God gives sinners warning of their danger and space to repent to prevent it. He is slow to punish and long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. So it seems as though I've exalted David and put him up on the pedestal. He has declared his own innocence in this matter, but let's not set David too high up on the pedestal. Because you know, there was a time when words were directed at David about his sin, and David was rightly accused. And actually, David accused himself. You remember when Nathan confronted David about his sin against his adultery of Bathsheba and his murder, or issue of murder for Uriah. Nathan used that story about the poor man and the rich man. Of course, the rich man's got all sorts of stuff, but a traveler came through town and he needed something to feed this traveler. And this poor man has this one little lamb. He treats like even one of his own children. Got to eat from his table. And what happened? The rich man came and took that poor man's one little sheep and offered it up. David became very angry when he heard this story. He said, that poor man needs to be paid back four times what's been taken from him. He became very angry. And what did Nathan say? He said, you are the man. There was a time when words were directed to David about his sin, and it was a right accusation. You are the man. David then says to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. David displayed repentance in his life. Now, there's no need of repentance in Psalm 7 in this situation. But as we consider hope for sinners, let David be the example. Though not in Psalm 7, in Psalm 51, he gives us the example of repentance. It's very helpful for us to understand. You know, David knew that God was a righteous judge when he was rightly accused. He knows God, Psalm 7, you're a righteous judge, you make all the perfect judgments. I'm innocent, O Lord. But what about Psalm 51? Let's flip over there for a moment and consider. You might keep your finger in Psalm 7. We might go back and forth just a moment. But David knew that God was a righteous judge when he was rightly accused. And so we find in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 51, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what was evil in your sight. Listen to this. So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. David is guilty and he declares God to be the righteous judge. So it doesn't really matter for a person who knows the Lord, knows the truth about the Lord. If they're falsely accused or they're rightly accused, they know that God is the righteous judge. Another thing that we need to understand about repentance and turning is that we're not just called to stop sinning and then all will be well. We're not called to just stop sinning and all will be well. David's repentance occurred sometime after the sin. Some say maybe as much as a year before Nathan he came and confronted him. David's repentance was not to just stop his sin, because we don't know that David continued to look for women to commit adultery with, and David didn't continue to offer a word of judgment upon or organizing the killing of these husbands. He didn't keep going on in that. He had actually stopped. But David's repentance was a turning from sin and a turning to God. You cannot, if you want to turn properly or you want to repent properly, you can't just cease from the sin. But you've got to cease from the sin, turn away from the sin, and turn to God. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. God, you have steadfast love. You have mercy, and I'm coming seeking it. Blot out my transgressions. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If a man does repent, then God will not punish. There is a possibility of forgiveness. There is a possibility of cleansing. See, cease from sin and turn to the Lord for mercy and for forgiveness. David sought the Lord for cleansing from his sin. 51 verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And that's a symbol of purity. You know, the fresh snowfall. So you might say that I cannot be saved because I do not have an upright heart. There are many things in my heart that are displeasing to the Lord. I'm not going to attempt to know what's in your heart. But the Lord knows. You might say, I don't think I can be saved. The word for you from this psalm is repent, turn. Repent from sin and to God. If your heart is unclean, then call out as David did. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. You see, there is hope for a sinner that Psalm 7 starts pointing us in that direction. Psalm 51 gives us further direction. The way that God has been merciful to sinners, we know because we have the completion of God's revelation in Jesus Christ contained in His Word. The way that God can at the same time maintain His justice and forgive sinners is because He sent His Son. The Son of God who was without sin. Jesus has taken punishment for the people of God. You see, if a man repents, if he turns, then God will not whet his sword. But the punishment must be given nonetheless. And so it was Jesus who was punished in the place of those who call upon Him for salvation, those who repent from their sin unto God. The Lord is the righteous judge who forgives sinners and cleanses sinners by the precious blood of Christ. Oh, the good news of Jesus Christ, you see. Even for the one who gives false accusations and wrong words, they have an opportunity to repent. It was on the cross where Jesus died that the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. And so for the Christian, we can say, here in the death of Christ I live. He died that I might live. Repent and turn away from evil. Turn to God for mercy. If a person does not repent, then God will punish them. Can we see that out of Psalm 7 very clearly? On the other side, if a person does repent, then God will not punish them. For Christ has been punished in their place. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and trust in Christ. Believe that salvation is possible for sinners because of Christ's perfect life. Christ, he had an atoning death on the cross, putting away the wrath of God. Christ's resurrection shows that the sacrifice was received. Christ's ascension shows the everlasting victory. Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. There is hope. There is gospel in Psalm 7, or at least Psalm 7 will direct us to the gospel. Because David only had comfort because he knew what repentance was. And particularly Psalm 7, he only had comfort because he knew he was innocent in this particular matter. If a man does not repent, verse 12, God will whet, he'll sharpen his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him, verse 13, his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. You see here, the judgment of God is sure. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil, pregnant with mischief, and gives birth to lies. Going from bad to worse, wickedness just flows forth from them. They're doing terrible things like digging pits in verse 15, makes a pit, digging it out. But what will happen? Because of God's just judgment, he will fall into the hole that he has made. Because of God's just judgment, verse 16, his mischief returns on his own head. And on his own skull, his violence descends. The wicked will receive the judgment of God. For those who know the Lord, walking with him, receive forgiveness of sin through the precious blood of Christ. Be comforted. Be comforted. God will make things right. God will make things right. Paul was calmed by resting in the Lord's righteous judgment. Listen to this. He said that Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Now, Paul, plenty of people did Paul great harm, right? Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Well, then what he says is, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. And then he moves on. He's calmed by the fact that the Lord is going to give the just judgment. Vengeance is the Lord, so Paul doesn't feel like he has to take that upon himself. The Lord's righteous judgment calms the righteous. So David concludes in verse 17, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. The Lord was very gracious to David. He didn't allow him to stay in this position of anxiety and difficulty, but he lifted his attention up to the Lord, so much so that praise and thanksgiving flowed forth from him. But again, David was not always in that state. And to see the parallels between Psalm 7 and Psalm 51, I ask you to turn back there one more time to Psalm 51. David has concluded Psalm 7 by saying, I will give thanks to the Lord, do his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. There's where David concludes Psalm 7. But look at verse 14 and 15 of Psalm 51. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation. I'm repenting. I'm turning, Lord. I'm coming to you pleading mercy. Please deliver me. Please grant me salvation. And then he says, verse 14, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Seems as though the Lord has granted David to do such a thing. Thank you, Lord, for your righteous judgment. All evildoers who do not repent will be punished. But thank you, Lord, that you have granted me repentance and enabled me even to know you, to be right with you. All evildoers who David was at times are certainly displayed sinful lifestyle. All evildoers who repent will not be punished, for Christ was punished in their place. How was David affected by meditation on the truth? His desperate call for help is concluded with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. For the Lord is the righteous judge. May we seek refuge in the Lord. Whatever the situation, certainly if you've been falsely accused, may we seek refuge in the Lord. May we meditate on the fact that the Lord is the righteous judge. He's going to bring the proper judgment on every situation. He knows the truth. We don't have to go to court to find out the truth. God's court is perfect. And may we repent to the Lord through faith in Christ. May meditation upon the Lord's righteous judgment calm us. All evildoers will be punished, even those who make false accusations. So the Lord is the righteous judge. For the Christian, that should be comfort. Let us pray. Father, in light of your judgment, I pray that if there be anyone here who's trembling before the consideration of your judgment, I pray that you would grant them repentance to yourself for mercy. Thank you, Lord, that there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No need for the Christian to tremble before the judgment, for they know certainly that their Savior has suffered in their place, and that they have been washed clean, cleansed from their sin. But, oh Lord, there is difficulty that comes in this life. Even the believer, the righteous, is sinned against greatly. So may we follow the model that David has set forth of seeking refuge in you, O Lord. You will make things right. Thank you that you saw it was right to provide us salvation in Christ, your beloved Son. Thank you that he was born of a virgin. Thank you that he lived a life in which he never sinned, though he was tempted in every way. Thank you that we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. Thank you that Jesus is a very present help in time of need. Thank you that we can seek help and find grace in our time of need. Lord, you know what these people before me need. I ask, Lord, that you would grant each one of us faith in the gospel, that you would grant us repentance of our sin and repentance to you through Christ. It's through Jesus that I ask for you to bless us even now. Amen.